You're about to begin a new sugya on the Daf Pesach and Aleph. We're actually getting back to a little bit about sugyas, Ronis and Mefata. So the Mishnah records in the Daf Pesach and Aleph that there's a very big difference, many differences between Ronis and Mefata. One of the big differences is all the additional payments that you make. The Gemara derives from Sukkim that when you pay the Chamishim Shekel, either for Onus and Mepata, that's not all that you pay. That's the basic cost. But then there are a lot of hidden costs. It's like everything in life. You know, they tell you what the price is, and then you read the fine print, rent the car. Yeah, it's $29 to rent the car, and then it's $400 to turn the wheel. Anyway, so there are a lot of side costs. So to over here, when you're honest the girl, you're mafat to the girl, you have to pay for an assorted other things as well. So you have to pay for the nezek, her value went down, you have to pay for Boshia, she's very, very embarrassed. And then the Mishnah draws a distinction between onus versus mafat in terms of paying for tzar. But the Mishnah says that Moisiv alav einish and noisin es tzar. That onus, the person who physically forces her, so he was a tzar, she had a lot of pain, so he has to pay for the tzar as well. That's the regular dinner paying for tzar. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim, that appear in Parashat Mishpatim, Kriyot Tachas Kriyot. The Pasuk describes a person causing a burn to somebody. The Gemara says that means even though there's no damage, the person's diet didn't go down, but they suffered a tremendous amount of pain. So that's also chav to pay. So tzar is one of the five things you pay for chayvel. So the Gemara derives from Sukkim that the just as you pay for nezek, you pay for boshes, you pay for tzai, you pay all these additional things, in addition to all the other, to the chiyuv of onus and mefata itself. But that tashlumen of tzar only makes sense by onus, doesn't make sense by mefata, because presumably there is no tzar, she's not, she agreed, so mustam, she doesn't have any pain. So therefore it doesn't make any sense to pay tzar. So that's what the Mishnah draws this distinction, on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, that vis-a-vis all the additional payments, above and beyond the 50 shekel, onus and mefata are pretty much the same, with the exception of tzar. So the Gemara starts off with a very, very strange question. The Gemara asks the question in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Tzar Damai. Gemara says, what exactly is the big tzar that you're paying for? Even for Nainis, I understand the Boishas, I understand the Nezek, I understand the 50 Shekel, that's the Knas HaTorah. What's the tzar? What's the Gefilcha tzar? What's the terrible tzar that she's suffering that you have to pay for Teshlumi tzar as well? So that's all we have to stop at that point. Tzar Damai. So come to Rishon and say, what? What kind of question was that? Tzar Damai? There's no tzar. By Oinus, there's no tzar whatsoever. Taisus and all the Rishon and the Kasha is the tzar of the breaking of the Besulim. I mean, she was a Besula, so the woman has Bia Rishona. It's physically, it's going to be painful. So that's the tzar that you're paying for. So what was the Gemara thinking? The Gemara has to bend over backwards to come to raise a harom, and harom and harom come with the different okimtas as to what the possible tzar was. Typically, the tzar is obvious. The cause of the tzar that you broke through the besulim. Hey, look at tzar, God, let me say that. That tells us kasha. We don't understand where the Gemara is coming from. So comes the Ri. This is called from the Ri, an unbelievable chiddush. The Ri came up with this gewaldige chiddush, which now has applications outside of just the sugya of onus and mefata. Comes the Ri and says, let me tell you a little bit about tzar. Let me tell you a little bit about tashlumei tzar. Says the Ri, tashlumei tzar only applies to the tzar that is suffered at the time of the damage itself. At the time of the mice, the time that you're, let's say, the original case of tzar, you're burning the person, you're causing the person terrible tzar at the time that you're doing the ma'isa, that's the tzar shechiva lev teira. Any tzar that's going to schlep out, say, I did something to somebody, I caused somebody some kind of a damage today at 12:10, and then in a week from now, they start to hurt. It happens all the time. You play ball, you don't get hurt right away, then next morning you wake up, it's all my kids are like that. Mm-hmm. When they're playing ball, they're fine. It's only when it gets time to go to school the next morning, then all of a sudden everything starts to hurt. So I took the kids for annual physical the other day. So, Doc was asking him, everything's okay, everything's good. He says, yeah, he said, but his feet hurt. So he said to him, when do your feet hurt? So I piped up. He said, approximately at 7 o'clock every morning, exactly when it's time to get out of bed. He said, what about 7 o'clock the night before when you're in the middle of it? No, his feet hurt. It's perfectly. Doc says, it's interesting. Okay, we'll write that down on the chart. It's an interesting description of things. Okay. So, yeah. So comes Tysus and says, in the name of the Ri, that tzar that happens hours, days, months later, that's not the Tashlumei Tzar to Teruz Mechaim. We don't understand what that is yet, but we'll get that in a moment. So comes the Ri and says, that's what's going on in this sugya as well. The Ri says that the terrible pain that the girl's going to feel for the breaking through the Besulim, That pain is only going to be experienced later. Later? That's not the tzar. The Torah is mechayev. What do you mean that's only going to be experienced later? It's not true, says Taisus. The Metzias HaDvarim is at the time they're bringing to the Besulim, it's also going to hurt. So Taisus says, no. At that split second of time, it's not really going to hurt. Why? Because she's her Yetzahara, Taivas, even though she didn't really want this person, but somehow the feeling of Tashmish is going to overcome those feelings of Tzar temporarily. The second that enjoyment of Tashmish subsides, that's when the pain is going to start to kick in. So it comes Taiz Mechzechaj from the name of the ring, that if you pinpoint to the precise moment of Tzar, so the precise moment of Tzar will not begin at the time that he's involved in the Maisa Bia with her. The Tzar will only kick in a moment later. At the time of the Bia proper, it's going to be camouflaged. It's going to be covered up by other feelings that she's going to be experiencing. But the minute that he stops, then it's going to be a terrible Tzar. So there's no Chiyuv Tzar for such a Tzar, because it's too late. That's Taisus. So whether you agree with Taisus Metzias, you don't agree with Taisus Metzias, we have to analyze what Taisus Halacha is. Taisus tells us the Gevaldige Chiddush. Taisus, that's the Ri's definition, the Ri's defense as to why the Gemara didn't introduce this Tzar. The Gemara is drawing us a cup with what kind of Tzar is there. The Tzar is obvious. It's Asharas HaBesulim. So the Ri says, no, that wouldn't qualify because that Tzar is too late. So what kind of a din is that? What do you think about that? What kind of Halacha is that? Now, Taisus is now creating a new din deraisa within the Tashlumei Tzar. It's a Chiddush HaTorah, you have to pay Kviya Tachas Tzar, you have to pay for Tashlumei Tzar. So Taisus only Tzar B'Shas Ma'isa, not Tzar later. Why should that be? Well, oh, so Ashi says a famous word. It must have something to do with light switches, it must have to do with grum switches, it must have something to do with delayed action. So we all know there's a difference in a Halacha between a Ma'isa and a grumma. You can see one of these. Where is it? I saw it somewhere. Grumma! Implications for Ma'akei. So there's dunes in a mice and a grumma. So we know that's true in Kol Torah Kula. Famous Gemara in Shabbos, Tafkuf Chof, we spoke a lot about it last year. Losasaka Malacha Ksiv, Maisa Asa, Grumma Mutar. So grumma is something that permeates many, many areas of Halacha. In the realm of the Zikin also, the Gemara says in Basra, grumma in the Zikin is a potter. This is potter Valosi. You're not allowed to be Gurim Hezek to somebody. But the din is that grumma in the Zikin is potter. Wait, hold on. One second. So maybe that's what Tulsa is driving at. So that's what the Shuvas HaRosh writes. Shuvas HaRosh quotes the Sri and says, Mestam, what the Tulsa is driving at, some kind of a din of grumma. Now, whenever we see the term grum, we get very, very weary. Because we're never really sure what's the difference between a maisa, mamish, and grumma. So Ashi refers us back to Tosis in Maseches Beitza, where in the Sugis of Shabbos, again, whether this is the same Sugis or not, I have no idea. This is the bridge between Ksubas and Shabbos. So Tosis does have this idea in Maseches Shabbos that the difference between Grumma and Ma'is V'Yadayim has something to do with the time element. What was the context of the Tosis? Who remembers? Oh, so because there are two statements of Chazal that appear to contradict one another. Gemara says in Maseches Beitza that a mistapik b'shemen shemeneir is chayev. If a person removes some of the oil from a candle, so you have a liquid candle, right? You have an olive oil burning. If you take out some of the olive oil, the person gets hungry, he wants to take a little bit of a dressing. Friday night, he realizes there's no salad dressing in the fridge, so he takes a little bit of the olive oil out. That's called mistapik b'shemen shemeneir. So the Gemara says you're going to be chayev. That's a malach of kibbutz. Assuming malach shetzi. So goof, we have a leaf from the details. Mistapik b'shem shem ner is chayim. On the other hand, the Gemara says in Shabbos that gram kibu is mutter, at least mutter in the Torah. Namely, if you have something burning, and let's say this piece of wood is burning, so I pour some water on the other end of the wood. I don't pour the water onto the fire. I pour the water 3 feet away, and now the fire, by the time the fire hits the water, so it goes out, so the Gemara calls that gram kibu. And gram kibu is mutter. According to some Rishonim, it's mutter l'chatchila, and the way we paskin, the Ramah paskins, the gram kibbutz is also midirabbanan. The only reason why it's mutter Masechta Shabbos is because the guy's house is burning down. So Malcolm Hefsid, so they will master the midirabbanan of gram kibbutz. Malcolm Hefsid, not because he wants to turn off the lights, but because the real Malcolm Hefsid moment, and then they will master even Zolzayin and something is called grammar. So Taisus got stuck and said, "Beit, so what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between the guy who pulls out some of the oil and the person who pours some of the water?" So who remembers? Nur Machalik Taisus in the Rush. Chazar. What did Taisus say? So Taisus says that whatever happens immediately is called ma'is, and whatever happens later is called grumma. So in the case of the water, I pour the water, and then I walk away. I pour the water, and I go sit in my vasedra and hope for the best. So 10 minutes later, by the time the fire hits the water, it's going to go out. So that's called grumma. Now she'ein kein, but I'm established with Shem HaShem Benei, Taisus says, the reason why I'm chaya for kibbutz is not because the candle is going to go out earlier. Instead of going out at 10 o'clock, it's going to go out at 9 o'clock. That would still be grumma. The reason why I'm chayev is because when I pull out some of the oil, that weakens the whole flame, and there's already a sheen, there's already a noticeable change in the flame immediately, says Taisus. When you pull out some of the oil, so the flame immediately starts to get a little bit dimmer, and that's the isser of kibbutz. That's what Taisus writes. That would only be true if you have a liquid source of fuel. But let's say you have a candle, and you cut off a little bit of candle on the bottom, nothing's going to happen right away. The flame will go out earlier. If you have less fuel, no matter whether it's liquid or solid, the candle will go out earlier. But that's not called the ma'isim yadayim. That's only called grama. So Ashi is correct. The Taisus had a certain mindset about grama versus ma'isa. Ma'isa is immediate, and grama is somewhat down the line. This is in contrast, of course, to the Rush. The Rush said that, no, it's nothing to do with time. You can have a grama, you can have a ma'isa that happens at a later date also. The difference is that when you pour water under the flame, so you're pouring water onto something which is not really shaykh to the flame. The flame is an entity, is a unit of itself. I'm pouring water min hachutz, I'm pouring water min hatzad, that's called grama. The problem with shemesh ben air is that the oil is part of a system. It's all part of one unit. So once I yank something out of that unit, that's tantamount to mamish blowing out the candle. So not because anything's going to happen right away. So according to the Rush, if I carve away the bottom of a solid wax candle, I'm also going to be chayev because the wax and the candle and the oil and the flame is all one unit. Even though nothing happens now, when I cut off the bottom of the candle, nothing is nikkel ayin, but the candle rather than going out at 10 o'clock, we now go out at 9:30, that's considered to be kibud deraisa. So I think Ashi is correct that this Taisvus is very much focusing also on time element. So Taisvus really has a two chedushim, where the Rush, the Tshuvas HaRush is, instance, the Rush here is defending in the Ri. The way the Tshuvas HaRush is sizing up the Ri, so he's saying that first the Ri is making a physical assumption, making an assumption about pain. He's saying that he doesn't think that the girl who's being nensa right now is experiencing the pain, mamish b'shas biha. He thinks that she's experiencing the real pain is going to be a second later. So that second later is already too late. That's already begun. The grama and grama benazikin is going to be potter. If that's true, that would have tremendous ramifications, not just for this technical sugya of oynes. This is going to have ramifications for other tzar. Every time you have tashlumei tzar, you have to always ask yourself, is that really true? That tashlumei tzar is only cheshbon out by the beis and the fee, the shas ha-maisa? That would be a tremendous kula in, for the mazik in terms of a tzar.
No, Hamad Bedin is
if anything, it's only the Mechai for the Knas, for the Nezik and the Tzar, but that's all for sure from right now. That's for sure from now. It's just a question, maybe the Knas.
Only the Shaz Maisim, no matter what. Nobody says Hamad Bedin, but
that. No, Hamad Bedin is for sure now. Right. It could be there's a Gzeres HaKosov that who figures out who gets the money. That's the Chalik Yisem Yisharim, or the Hekesh, not a Hekesh. But in terms of the basic Mechayev, so everyone agrees that the Shas Hamad Bedin is that anything is only the Mechayev for the Knas.
Right.
That's right. Good thing. We want to really get the guy again. We want to sleep. Right. First, put him on anesthesia. Put him on anesthesia, and then you do whatever you want to do, and then you wake him up later. No, he's saying that you can't experience, I guess, two things at the same time. I don't know. You have to talk to the pain management people. I mean, the person is having the enjoyment, the vex, so then even though they're having the pain, so the pain is somehow being covered over. Yeah. Right. It's like that's the anesthesia, whatever, something like that. So then the Rush goes a little bit further and he says, is that really true? In Hilchos Chayvel, that a grumba, or these quasi grumbas, these delay actions, is really going to be potter? It's not true. Says the Rush, what's the din? Let's say if I break somebody's arm, right? I break somebody's arm, so I have to pay Nezik, Tzah, Ripu, Shevus, and Boishas. So when it comes to paying for Ripoy, so what doctor bills do I have to pay? So the guy broke his arm. So now he goes to get the arm casted, and then let's say some kind of a complication happens, and he gets an infection and things like that. So the Mishnah says, Maseches Bava Kamma, that as long as all the complications can be attributed back to the original makah, so then I'm chayav to pay. So the Rush says, why don't you say that's always grama? If there's anything that doesn't happen, Mishas Ma'is, it should be potter. Well, let's say Sheves. Sheves means I pay for the loss of work. So right now I break the guy's arm, so right this split second, so he loses a second of work. So now he's going to be out of work for the next 6 months. What if for the next 6 months? It's all grama. Everything is all later. So the Rush says, no, that's a silly kasha. Not a silly kasha, it's not like a kasha. The Rush says that Ripley and Shevet, by definition, are always after the fast. There is no Ripley b'shas ma'isa. The doctor doesn't send you the bill at the time that you're breaking the arm. Imagine, I'm breaking your arm, and as I'm breaking the arm, so the doctor's already sending me the bill. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. As I'm breaking your arm, you're already out of work. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole tashlum of Ripley and Shevet, obviously, the yaitzim in a cloud. Obviously, since there is no Ripley b'shas ma'isa, there is no Shevet b'shas ma'isa, and the Torah still said Yechayev, so Zetman Findor, the Yechayev, a quote unquote grum also. There's even types of, these types of tashlumin are not neat under the regular rules and regulations of grumma. But tsar, usually there is pain at the time of the ma'isa. So every once in a while, you broke the guy's arm under anesthesia. Every once in a while, you caused the woman tsar, and she was still enjoying the hanos tashmish. So these quirk cases of tsar, which happen to be time delayed, so under these circumstances, we go back to the regular rules of the Torah and say that whenever it's time delayed, it's potter, because that's like a gedder of a grama. So when all the dust settles, the Rosh says, we can defend the Reish Pshat, but you really, really got to work on it. You got to work really, really hard on this Reish Pshat. You have to explain away the Metzias HaDvarim, that there is no tsar here that we have to reckon with. And then you have to say that tsar that's delayed action, you're not chayev. And then you have to explain away why tsar is different from Ripley and Shevet. There's a lot of work to go into making this Reish Pshat fly. So comes Tosfos and quotes an alternate Pshat from the Rashba, right, from the, not the Rashba, of the Chiddush Rashba, the Rashbi Shans. So comes the Rashba and says that the reason why the Gemara wasn't addressing the issue of the pain of the Hashoros HaBesulim is this is a throwback to the sugya that appears in the sixth Pech of Bava Kama. What is a general question about in the sugyas of Nezek, when I damage somebody in such a manner that it's quite possible, or it's even maybe certain, that similar type of a damage, or that similar kind of hefset, is going to take place at another time, whether I did it or not. The person is going to suffer that same loss down the line, in a month from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, they're anyway going to suffer that loss, just I brought it about early. So is that a chiyav or is that not a chiyav? So that's a big machlokes atanoim. So one Tana says, Hashem, right now you broke the guy's car, right now you broke the guy's arm, the arm was functioning now, so you have to pay. In 6 months from now, something else is going to happen to cause it, lamafreya, that I didn't really cause any serious damage. But we don't paskin lamafreya on these kinds of things. And another Tana says no. Says that the only time that the Torah is mechayev you for these kinds of tashlumin of nezik and chayvel, and only in situations where I break the guy's arm, the guy wants going to have his broken arm anyway, well, I break the guy's car. He wasn't planning on having his car smashed up, so when I damage something that's not only the kach for that to happen, then and only then I'm going to be chayav. So again, that's machlokes atanoim. So comes the Rashba and says that the Gemara here wanted to steer very, very clear of that sugya. Because if you think about it, the tsar of Hasharas HaBesulim is a funny kind of a tsar. It means, yes, it's true, this guy is being ma'anisar, so right now she wasn't planning on experiencing this tsar. On the other hand, she's planning on getting married someday. She signed up for Wire Connects already. She's already 12 years old. So she's already all ready to get married. At some point, she's going to get married. So at some point, she's going to experience the tsar of Hasharas HaBesulim. So one Tana in the sixth parak of Akam would say to you, that tsar of Hasharas HaBesulim is not on the table for being a Teshlumei tsar. That's a tsar. It's going to happen anyway. Might have kibbutz. It's going to happen to this guy, to another guy, to her husband. So it's the same physical tsar. It may be emotionally different, psychologically scarred. Okay, we're not questioning all that. But in terms of the actual physical pain, so it's going to be basically the same pain. So comes the Rashba and says, the Gemara didn't want to get involved in that child. That's why the Gemara asked tsar demai. It could be a little bit the emes that the tsar is not going to share a It's very possible. But the Gemara didn't want to take a stand on that issue, so therefore we're looking around for some other tsar that's not going to be exempted based on that svara. So why did the Rashba not like the Reish Pshat? What did the Rashba think was wrong about the Reish? So we said that the Reish made a lot of assumptions. He was assuming, you know, something about physical pain management. He was making a medical assessment, and a medical / psychological assessment, and then he was also making a halachic assessment. He was assuming that anything that happens later is considered to be like a getter of a grama. So what did the Rashba not like about the Reish? So it's unclear. Did the Rashba not like about the Reish, the Metzias HaDvarim? He thought that his pain management assessment was not correct. He thought that the woman is suffering and enjoying at the same time. You can have pain and enjoyment at the same time, and it's not a stira. So he thought that the whole Reish Pshat is not correct from Metzias vantage point. Or did the Rashba think, no, that there, maybe the Reish Metzias was correct, but his halacha was not correct. Maybe just as the Torah is Mechaya for ongoing Shabbos, an ongoing replay, maybe the Torah is mechayev ongoing tzar also. Maybe that's not covered by somehow the Torah of Gerama. So it's unclear from the Rashba which Nakudi did. We know in our sugi disagreed. We know that he went searching and gave a look around for another reason, but it's not clear which point of the Ri, maybe both points of the Ri, did he veer from.
Is it for the tzar only applied back by Ones,
not by... Right,
so why in the case, I mean, according to the Rashba Mishan, in the case of marriage, so she's consenting to it. By, in other words, the only time you ever pay for tzar is by Ones.
Right.
So
no, but it's the same, it's going to be the same physical pain. But she's again. Yeah, it's going to be psychologically different, but physically, if I
don't start by pituit,
why does
same pain?
No, because the Gemara is not talking about the tzar of Bir Rishon. The Gemara is actually getting to the next point. Whether if I poke your finger, so whether I hold you down and I poke your finger, or whether I say okay, I'm going to give you a little blood test and you smile, it's the same pain. You know, it may be psychologically different kind of a level of pain, but physical, right? Am I correct? Should be physically the same pain. It's the same nerve endings, whether I'm smiling or not, right? You mean because I'm upset about it?
Yeah, overwrite certain things. Sometimes when I give a shot, sometimes you would hold it a bit tight and shake it, create some overload of
Okay, so you gotta get the whole sheer in pain management over there. It's not complicated. Okay. Alright. Sorry. Okay. Get back to this. So, we have figured out why, for one of two reasons, the real Rashi, why the Gemara didn't say the obvious. So, what did the Gemara say? So, the Gemara is working. So, finally, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the answer is. So, the top of the test of the days. The Gemara says, Elam Rav Nachman Rav Avua Tzar Shopisak Araglayim. The Gemara says it's not the tzar that's the shazbiya mamish, it's the tzar that precedes the shazbiya. Just the fact that, literally, we know tzar pisik b'lai means, it means basically whatever physical tzar that, to get up to the point of being able to have a maisabiya, that's the tzar that the Mishnah was apparently referring to. So what exactly does that mean? How does that solve the problem exactly? So why isn't the Ri have a problem with that tzar? Why doesn't the Rashi have a concern with that tzar? So here, Lachor, the answer is Boshet. According to the Ri, that tzar precedes the Shas Tashmish. So since she's not being Nenes at that time, so then that tzar, Tachat, she will be experiencing. So the Ri was willing to tell Yishtichel Torah that there are really three different times on the timeline in terms of tzar. There's the tzar pre-Tashmish, there's the tzar b'Shas Tashmish, and there's the tzar post-Tashmish. So the tzar with post-Tashmish, the Ri said, forget about. That's already Grum and not talk about. The tzar b'Shas Tashmish, namely the Shas HaBasulim, that's being masked by the enjoyment of the Bia. So, but the tzar that's before him, not being asked for anything, she's not enjoying anything at that point, and she's suffering, and she's in pain at that time, that's the tzar that the Gemara is identifying. Whatever that's going to be, that's what the Gemara calls tzar pisik raglayim. According to the Rashba, how do you read the significance of tzar pisik raglayim? The Gemara says, according to the Rashba, it means like this, that the only time we could say, well, you're not chayef at tzar v'shos ha-basulim, is because at one time in her life, she's going to experience one Hasharas HaBasulim. It's going to happen one time, or many times it needs to happen, but she's going to have the X amount of Tzar of Hasharas HaBasulim. So the Rashba said, the Gemara was concerned, according to that Tana, who says, my enough Gemini, if she's going to have it in 6 months from now, so let her have it now anyway. What's the difference? You can't put a price tag on that Tzar if you know for a fact it's going to happen. But when it comes to Pisak HaRaglayim, so true, she's going to have beer with her husband in 6 months from now. But she doesn't have to have a first nice to be with this guy now. So she's adding on an extra, there's an extra tzar that she's going to have to suffer. When we're focusing on the tzar of Hasharas HaBasulim, it's only going to happen one time. So why pay now if she's going to experience that tzar 6 months from now anyway? But when it comes to Pisak HaRaglayim, so she says, yeah, I know I'll experience whatever quote unquote tzar that's going to be at a later point, but what if I have to experience it twice instead of once? So that's the added tzar that the Gemara has. So whatever it is, that's the number, that's the Maisa. It's the tzar, not the post Bia, that's too late. Not the tzar b'shas Maisa, that's simultaneous with the Hanah. But rather it's the tzar shapisa karaglayim. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second. If that's the tzar of pisa karaglayim, so what happened to Mefateh? So Taka, why doesn't Mefateh pay that also? She's also experiencing that kind of a tzar. So the Gemara says, nah, the Gemara says, that's not a kasha. She's Michael on that. The Gemara says, Mashal Madavadaima. Mashal Mafutal Madavadaima, Adam Shabn Khavera Krashi Raim Shalivi Potter. The Mishnah says in the end of Avakama, that if I tell you, rip my clothing, I give you my fancy expensive silk clothes, and say, rip it and you'll be potter, so you're potter, finished. I'm like, oh, finished, you're potter, you don't have to pay me. The Gemara says, the mefater, so yes, it's true, she is experiencing a tzar, she's not the schar, the physical, whatever, discomfort, or whatever that's called, the schar, piece of haraglayim, is equally true for the onus and for the mefater, but when it comes to the onus, she's not mechelas, when it comes to the mefater, she's mechelas. That's the pshat of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, what? She's mecheles. The Gemara says, Shali, the avuaninu. It's not hers to be mechel. She's not the bailam on this tzar. And she's a 12-year-old. If we're talking about the parsha of a father, we're talking about the Rebbe Sevilla. Everything goes to the father. The knas is going to the father. The nezek, the tzar, everything's going to the father. So what do you mean she's mecheles? So we're back to square one. So we have really two different problems in the sugya. We haven't quite identified what the tzar is. And even if we succeed in identifying with the tzar, it took us so long to hear how to identify with the tzar is, we have no idea why the Mishnah tells us that it's between Oynes and Mefata. The fact that Rav Nachman told us that she's Mecheles, what does Mecheles have to do with anything? So finally, the Gemara comes down and says that no, that the tzar of Pesach HaRaglayim is not all that much for a girl who's doing it miritzon. Gemara says, the Amorim said they asked their wives, and the wives told them that if it's being done mirtzona, so then that tzar, piece of work live, is so minute, it's so garnish, it's so nothing, you can't even put a penny on it, it's not enough to be a mechayiv, any bummeris on it. That's the reason why there's no tzar by mefata. But by oines, when she's taka being forced into being whatever that tzar, piece of work live is, that taka has a price tag on it, and that you're going to have to pay for. So when all the dust settles, at least we finally understood the Mishnah. It took us an moment just to figure out. We have to figure out what the tzar was. So we got to work backwards. It's not the tzar Shor Sabasulim. It's got to be something to do with the tzar Pizor Glayim. But that got us into trouble. Manishtana Enes Mefat. And finally, the Gemara says, the Amoraim's wives solved the riddle by explaining to them that there's not all the tzar B'Shastoy, but there would be a little bit of a tzar B'Mokham Ones, and that's talking what the tzar is. I can't do it. Everything is about Yamakami of Mishnah. The only thing that's bizarre is that what was the Gemara thinking? What was the Gemara even contemplating? So the Gemara thought that there really is tzar shel pisak haraglayim. There's equally tzar for onus and mefata. Before the women told the Amorim that wasn't true. The Amorim thought that it's equally, there's a significant amount of tzar, there's a cash value of tzar for pisak haraglayim that applies even by the case of mefata. And the only way to explain why it's okay, why you don't have to pay for it, is because of an equation that the case of Mefata is basically the same as Kra, Ksusi, Vitipoter. That's what the Gemara thought. So the Rishonim have a lot of trouble to figure out, did the Gemara even mean anything? Was this even a viable Havamina? Was it not a viable Havamina? Was it just a way to get to the next line, the Sugya? So the Rishonim have different nuances to try to figure out what was going on. What did the Gemara even think? Was this even a realistic Havamina? But whether it was realistic or not realistic, whether it lasted the line or not, at one stage of the Gemara thought that the only way to say Pshat in the Mishnah of why Mefata is Potter, it's based on this din of Kraksusi Vitipoter. At the end of the day, that's not the real reason. At the end of the day, this svar is going to fail because it's not haksus to be moichel. But at the end of the day, the reason why there's no tzar is because taka, the women said there really is no tzar. There's not enough tzar to put a price tag on it. But I want to go back to that line of the Gemara, where the Gemara thought that it was based on kraksus vipoter. I want to understand a little bit what that was all about. What was the Gemara even thinking? What exactly is kraksus vipoter all about? So we have to go now, leave Ksubis, go to Baba Kama, the end of the 8th Parak, and learn a little bit about the dynamics of this sugya of Kruxus and Vitipater, why that should be so, and be able to understand why that should or should not have had any sense, what is exactly the nature of this thing is all about, how this would have or would not have played out in terms of the Father. So we have to go to the sugyas in Achayvel and try to understand what this sugya, what's this all about. What is Kruxus and Vitipater all about? So the Mishnah, Baba Kama, your mama comes, your mama comes, right? Finish, right? Okay, we're done. Nay's mama, your mama comes. So what did the Mishnah say, Baba Kama? Who remembers? Anyone saw the mama comes? Anyone saw? Okay, sure, touch about that. So the Mishnah says in the end of Perek HaChevel, you have a Chevel for me? Yeah, where's the Pegimel, where is it? Anyone knows where the mama comes from? What? Where's the Pegimel? What? Tadigimel, Tadigimel. You got it for me? Come in, Ashigan. Okay, we'll say it. So comes the Mishnah and says that if I go to you and I say, rip my clothing, and you're foolish enough to listen, what's the din? You have to be. But if I say to you, rip my clothing and you'll be potter, then if you're smart enough to listen, then you're going to be potter. Right? The Kruk Susi is only potter if you said the magic word, it's potter. Yes, the Gemara, it's not true. We have a Brisa that seems to contradict this. What does the Brisa say? Ki tein isha re'eyo kesef ha'kelim. What's the magic word? Lishmor. Lishmor velo li'abed. If I give you something to watch and I say to you, listen, I'm giving this to you, throw into the garbage. Ki tein isha re'eyo li'abed. If I give it to you to throw into the garbage and you throw into the garbage, what's the din? You potter. If I give you something to be a shomer on, then you have certain ischaivas, you have to pay, you have to take a shvua, you have all the parsha shomer. But if I give it to you, mitchila liabed, so then you're going to be potter. So, frakti gemara, I don't understand. In the Mishnah, we say the kruk susi itself without the word viti potter is going to be chayav. It's only because I spelled out the word viti potter that all of a sudden you become potter. Whereas in the Gzeres HaKasur of Kesel Kerem Lishmar, it just says, as long as I say to you, listen, here's my car, ride it into the river. Here's my animal, let it get lost. I didn't say to you Viti Potter, and the Pasuk still says I'm Potter. The Gzeres HaKasur, the Brisa still says, Kesel Kerem Lishmar v'loli Abed, that there is no din of it, there is no chi of him when it comes to Abed. What's the difference? How come in the case of the Mishnah, you require the saying of Viti Potter in order to be Potter, whereas in the case of Lishmar, it's not necessary. You got the Gemara? Okay, great. Okay. Rebel. Arrows? Where am I? I can't even see you. Where am I? Okay. Shaberis Kadi cross Ksusi Chayev. Right? The Mishnah says in Chayev, unless I say Hipotir. Or many, we have a contradiction, Lishmo v'loli Abed, Lishmo v'loli Kroa, right? So the Gemara is a Teretz, a Kasha, finally, Elamaraba, how about the Asa Liyadi, v'lo Kasha, had the Asa Liyadi b'tara Shmira, had the Asa Liyadi b'tara Kriya, that's what I'd get to be a Gemara. So the Gemara says that the one case where we said that Kruk Susi is taka chayav, and there's one case where we say lishmar below the abed where I'm potter. What's the difference? The Gemara says one case is b'taras kriya and one case is b'taras shmira. What does that mean? So comes Tyson and explains. It means as follows: if I was already a shomer on your object, I've been washing this car for the last week. Okay. At Makabel Shmira last Wednesday, I'm watching the car for the whole week, and all of a sudden you call me up and you say, listen, take my car and drive it into the river. What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say? I'm chayev. Right? If I'm foolish enough to drive your car into the river, I'm going to be chayev. Why? He's up to Isis. It was Asaliyadi B'tara Shmira. Means I was already a shomer on it. I was already a shomer, and now you want to be mafkia my shmira? Just telling me that I can drive into the river is not enough. If you say to me, Kruk Susi Viti Potter, if you say explicitly to me that driving into the river, I won't hold you responsible, then I'm Paka Potter. Because, man, you didn't say explicitly the word Viti Potter, I'm going to be chayev. That's if it's Asaliyadi B'tara Shmira assistance. What does it mean, Asaliyade B'toras Kriya? That means, when I first give you the car, I say to you, listen, here's my car, drive it into the river. And I didn't say a word, I didn't say Viti Potter, then I'm talking going to be Potter. Why? Because it's Asaliyade B'toras Kriya. It's Asaliyade B'toras Ibud. I would never was a shomer to start with. That's the Gzeres HaKasav of Lishma V'loli Abed. So I can't give you a taste. So again, the Mishnah says, without the saying of a tipotter, I'm chayev. The Brisa says, without the saying of a tipotter, I'm potter. The Gemara says, lokash adiyasim yadatar shmira, that's kloktar kriya. Shmira is chayev, kriya is potter. What's pshat? How do we understand it? How do we understand the reason for this difference? So Tosfos explains, it's very, very simple, says Tosfos. Everything revolves around psychology. He says, Tosfos, there's no great lumdus going on in this sugya. I mean, there's always great lumdus, but not in this sugya. Says Tosfos, this entire sugya is revolving around one word. You know what the word is? Mechila. That's it. We have to be Mishaya. We have to figure out, was the person Meichel or not? If the Baalim was Meichel, then you don't have to pay. If the Baalim wasn't Meichel, then you don't have to pay. No great chokhmah to that question. We just have to test and figure it out. How are we going to figure out what the person's intent was? So if he says, I am Meichel, Meichel is Meichel. But he gives some kind of a funny lashon. He says, Kruxusi. Kruxusi. Is that a lashon Mechila? If he says Kruxusi viti poter, you can't get more of a lashon Mechila than that. But just the words of Kruxusi, is that a lashon of Mechila? What do you think? You know, if you had to analyze those words, Kruxusi, if you had to psychoanalyze this person, do you think he was Meichel or not? So Tai says, he thinks it depends. Depends what the context. It's like a lot of words can be understood differently in context. That's why it's always a very bad idea. If you have anything important to say, say it to the person. Don't text it, because if you text something, maybe you want to text somebody, you know, pick up an extra container of milk or something. That's usually okay. But if you want to text something, you know, some major life relationship or something, so pick, either go meet the person or at least pick up the phone. Because if you send a text, so you just see the words itself, you don't see the context. So it's very important to see the context of statements. So that's what Tosfos writes here also. That kruxusi, in and of itself, doesn't mean mechila, does not mean mechila. It depends on the context. If I was already a shomer, I've been working for you for the last week, I already have a relationship with you, I'm supposed to be a shomer, up until now I've been chayav to be a shomer, and you give me this like half-baked statement by saying, drive the car into the river, so I should scratch my head 100 times, what did you mean? Did you mean drive the car into the river and say potter? But you didn't say potter. Do you mean that I should be chayav? Why did you tell me to drive? Unclear. So we cannot say that the person was moichel. Just the statement kruxusi calls man that I've been chayav for, it's like a chazak almost. The chazak was I was chayav. I've been chayav. I just added that in. Just make more lumnus. Right? Bye, Samanuka. For the last week I've been chayav. Now you give me this half-baked statement of kruxusi. You can't really call that mechila. On the other hand, when I come to you mitchila and I say to you, here's my car, drive it into the river, please. So you were never chayav to me. You were never shomer to me. You never met me before. And I'm telling you to drive my car. So you drive my car into the river. It's understood that I was being moichel. So Tosfos says the whole nuance, the whole difference between shmir and kri is nothing very, very lumdish. It's just a way of assessing what the person's kavana was. But everything revolves around one word, says Tosfos. It's just a way of figuring out was the person moichel, was the person not moichel. That's Tosfos reading it. Kruxusi, gesunter Heid, and you're going to have to pay for it. I don't know, in case you're interested in ripping somebody's clothes. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't a Lashon Mechila. Comes a Ktzois, and he says, Tzois is 100% correct and 100% incorrect at the same time, says the Ktzois. Tzois is right in the Pshat and the Gemara that Shmira is the case that you chayev, Kri is the case that you potter. But says the Ktzois, it has absolutely nothing to do with Mechila. Says the Ktzois, the words kruxusi do not mean Mechila. Mechila means potter. If I say potter, doesn't Mechila. If I say mochalach, doesn't Mechila. If I say kruxusi, kruxusi is just saying rip it at your own expense, rip it at your own risk. Rip at your own risk. Like going on to the roller coaster. Go on at your own risk. Says the Ktzais, the lashon per se of kruxusi, there's no way to psychoanalyze it. Doesn't matter what you. It does not a lashon mechila. Bechlal. It's bechlal not considered to be a lashon mechila. It's never a lashon mechila. So why am I potter? If I give you something to watch, and at the moment that I give it to you to watch, I tell you to rip it. Why am I potter? Why are you potter? If there's no lashon mechila, what's the answer? Says Ktzais. There's something else lurking in the background. There's another potter here, not a lashon mechila. Lashon mechila doesn't exist with the words kruxusi alone without the potter. There's another potter. What's the other potter, Abayisai? What other possible potter could it be? I give you my car and I say drive the car into the river. What could the potter possibly be? Two magic words. You guys learn ksubis. Why should you be chayav? I give you my car and you drive my car into the river. You're mazik. Oh, Tazoi says the choice. I in Ramban, you're a mazik b'shus. I giving you permission. I'm authorizing you to be mazik by property. Says the choice. A mazik b'shus is potter. The reason why kraksusi is potter without a lashon mechila. Kolzman, you didn't say the magic word potter. There is no lashon mechila here. Doesn't exist. There's no lashon mechila. B'chal doesn't exist. Ella what? You're potter anyways of the choice. Because the Bista Mazik Peshus, that's why you put there. Now comes the Ketzos and says, now I understand what the Gemara means when it says, Hadi Asa Liyadi B'Tara Shmira. If you're my Shomer, and now you go ahead as a Shomer and drive my car into the river, what's the Mechaev? Why are you Chaev? You're Chaev for two reasons. You're Chaev number one, Alt Mazik, and the Chaev number two for Alt what? Alt Shomer. Your driving into the river is no better, no worse than somebody else driving into the river, no better. So comes the Ketzos and says, Mazik Peshus is a point of Luchas Mazik. It's a point of Perech Chaf Aleph in Mishpatim. It's not a point of Perech Chaf Beis, those who know Sefer Shmos. Perech Chaf Aleph is a dinim of Mazik, Perech Chaf Beis is a dinim of Shomrim. Shomrim is a different way. If you're a Shomrim, you're Bista Shomrim, you're Mechuyev. And there's only one thing of the Ketzos that can pull to a Shomrim, and what is that? Mechila. But guess what, says the Ketzos. There's no mechila because Kolzman didn't say the magic word v'tipot there. There never was a lashon mechila. So says the Ketzos, Tais is 100% right that when there was a shmira that preceded Yechayev, when there was no shmira that preceded the Yipotter. But Tais is 100% incorrect because whereas Tais has taught the difference between shmira, the existence of a pre-existing shmira or the absence of a pre-existing shmira is a function of mechila, those are ways to shuffle up, those are ways to evaluate whether there's a mechila or not. So Tais has nothing to evaluate. There's nishkin mechila. Psychologically, there was never mechila. Kozmai didn't say mechila. There's no mechila. But even in the absence of mechila, there could still be a second poter. That's a lomdashib. The Ketzos is a lomdashib shat. What did we expect? The Ketzos is a lomdashib shat. There's a secondary poter. That's a secondary poter called mazik b'shus. The mazik b'shus is only true when you're dealing in the parasha of mazik. When you're dealing in the parasha of shomer, so there's no mazik b'shus. There's no shomer b'shus. And therefore, the only possible poter would be mechila. Mechila is only going to be accomplished with lashon poter. With all the dust settles, bein lefi tais, bein lefi aktais, we understand the difference between the shmira and the kriya. The other side, the shmira, the other side is kriya. We understand exactly why sometimes the tipotah is necessary and why sometimes not. According to tais, it's just a metzias advarim is the mechila na mechila. According to tais, it's zichah na mechila. There's a secondary halacha mazik b'shus. Okay. So the question is this the statement of Kol Shmira? We spoke a little bit about Kol Shmira with the Rambam, right. So apparently this is not even a Kol Shmira. This is nothing. So hopefully Mitzvah Shemba, we have to, hopefully tomorrow, we try to figure out, this is such a gevaldik pshat. This is such a gevaldik pshat. Why didn't Tosfos see this pshat? Why did Tosfos have to give the Metzias guy the pshat? What happened to the Lomdash pshat of the Ketzos? And number two, we have to ultimately come back from this Tosfos and Ketzos back to our sugya. How did these Svaras play out in terms of our sugya? When the Gemara thought, either make-believe or seriously, the Gemara at some point was playing around with the idea that there's a relationship between Mefat and Kras Ksusi, so we have to understand what exactly the nature of that relationship was or was not. So that's from tomorrow. We'll try to continue this.